Welcome to season 4 of the Fit Farming Food Mom podcast. I am your host, Connie, world champion powerlifter, former bodybuilder, and elite trainer and nutrition coach. As a movement enthusiast and health nerd, I'm here on this show to speak with educated guests as we dive into the realm of all things health, fitness, mindset, and everything in between. If you enjoy the show, please do me a huge favor by smashing the like button or subscribing and leaving me a review. Now let's get to the show. Every area of your life is affected by this, and 85% of the world has self-esteem issues. So usually, confidence and self-esteem is the only thing holding people back from pursuing their dreams and goals. It is.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining me. I am going to be kicking off season 4 with today's episode with Elle Russ. She is an award-winning author and the author of Confident as Fuck, as well as The Paleo Thyroid Solution. You may know her from a previous podcast that we did a couple years ago on thyroid. Today, we are actually going to talk about confidence, which is another field of her expertise. So I'm really excited to have her on the show. As you know, I did take a little bit of a hiatus from podcasting for a bit. I had a lot of my own personal things that I had to work on, as well as making sure I dedicated plenty of time to my clients. And so now we're back at it, and I'm ready to kick off an awesome season with a bunch of amazing guests. So thank you so much for joining me. This episode is brought to you by LMNT. Now, you know, I wouldn't tout or promote anything that I don't truly like, and I am obsessed with LMNT. Literally, it is a staple in my household. I get a monthly subscription. My kids, my husband, I give it to my clients. We all use it. It is free from artificial sweeteners, so there's no garbage in there. It doesn't have a bunch of sugar, so it's not going to spike your blood glucose. Also, it tastes great, so it's a great way to encourage yourself to drink the right amount of water a day. I literally pour one packet in a giant gallon, and I consume that throughout the day. It is awesome. My favorite flavors are chocolate and watermelon. My husband's not a fan of the chocolate because he wants fruity water, but it is great served hot, and he puts it in his coffee. So, guys, drinklmnt.com/Connie gets you a free sample pack of all of the flavors so that you can give them a try. So try it out for yourself. Anyway, without further ado, here is my episode with Elle Russ. All right, Elle, I'm super excited to have you back on the show. So back, this is probably a couple years ago now, we talked about thyroid, kind of dove into that rabbit hole. One of the best episodes I think I had on my podcast. Definitely so much good information for all of my listeners. So today, though, you are not only a thyroid expert, you are also a confidence expert. You have an awesome book out there, Confident as Fuck. But I think it's
yeah, got if like we're allowed to swear, you can say it.
Yeah, but it's got, I think, an asterisk in the actual, in the title.
And you know what's so funny? Amazon, like, they'll publish the book with the asterisks in it, but then if you try to advertise it on Instagram or anything, even if they'll be like, no implied swear words. And you're like, well, why would you allow me to publish the book if you're not willing to let me advertise it? Or if you were to write a review of my book, Confidence Fuck, and you said, oh, this made me confident as F-U asterisk K, they'd deny it from an implied swear word. So I'm like, oh my God, whatever. Yes, but yes, Confident as F. And also I did the audiobook last year. The audiobook is read by me. That's really great as well. So now it's an audiobook form, paperback, and also Kindle as well.
Awesome. That's so cool. So today we're going to kind of take that grasp of things rather than thyroid, because if people want to listen to the thyroid episode, they can go back and take a look at that. And we might touch on a few things, but really today it's about confidence. And I think that's a great opener for this. I just got back from winning the World Powerlifting Championships. And I almost had a major issue there because of confidence. Like, I lost it and my mindset got polluted and it almost ruined me. So I think today this is a great conversation to have to follow up with that.
Well, what happened there? What were the nuances of this moment or whatever that you had?
Well, so there was actually a lot to it, multiple facets. And I think that's what started to beat me down. I'm very confident person typically, and one of those huge mindset people like yourself, right? Where it's like, no, you can do anything you put your mind to. This is, you know, own this, do all that. That's how I am. And a compounding of things happening, including getting injured, made me start to talk badly to myself. Brought up a lot of childhood dirt as well, right? And for some reason that had never been triggered in me, and I had always suppressed it. And all of a sudden, like, I started telling myself I wasn't good enough, you know, and it affected how I trained. It affected my success. It started to affect everything. Now, luckily, a week before the competition, I was able to get my shit together and like have a talk with myself. I felt like two different people, right? Where I was like, what in the heck are you doing? You are, you know, I just had to go through this crazy talk with myself and literally spent a week getting my mind right and went into the competition and ended up winning. And it was amazing. But
fuck yeah, congratulations. And you know, I don't think anyone's really impervious to this. You know, even highly confident people like myself, I mean, it's very rare, but if there's a moment, I just quickly turn it around, maybe a little bit faster than most people, but it's exactly what you said. You're like going, hey, I signed up for this. I know I'm good at this. What are you doing? You're going to go out there. You know, you got to like pep talk yourself. So, you know, people ask me like, do I get nervous to publicly speak? No, but before you go out on stage or something, there's adrenaline. You know what I mean? Your heart rate's higher, right? And so it's almost an excitement, but it can be nerves. And then there was a moment once where I'm like, oh God. And it was because the person that came and spoke before me was so bad and boring that everyone was like falling asleep. And I was like, oh God, I'm next. I got to go like wake the, you know, and in my mind, I was like, oh, he's ruining my thing. Like all this like outward, whatever. And then literally backstage, I said to myself, I'm like, hold on, motherfucker, you asked for this life. You wanted this life. You're good at this. You've had so much experience. You're like, just, you're going to go on, kill it. Let's go out there. We're going to wake him up. Let's, you know, and I had to, it was just a moment. It was just a moment. So hopefully, I mean, that's the whole point of everyone is to get to the point where these are only moments. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming next time yours won't last as long, right? You'll notice that this is happening and go, hey, let me check in and have a conversation with myself. And it does, it feels like two people sometimes, but you got to do it. So I'm so glad that you did and prevailed. So what a great example for you to walk out of and go, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think the thing is we put so much emphasis, especially as people that are a big influence, such as yourself and myself, like we put a big influence on, we don't want to let people down. We also want to be able to show up for what we speak. And in the moment, all of a sudden, it puts just that extra bit of pressure, I think, on to be like, okay, well, I have to be the best at this. I claim to be the best at this. I've got to be the best at this. Oh no. What if I am not the best at it? And you start to talk to yourself in these bad ways, but in reality, no one on the outside is thinking that, right? Nope. That's a scenario that we are planting in our own mind. People on the outside, they're happy to see you out there doing your thing, right? And if you don't make it, they're not going to go, oh, well, she said this, or this is, you know, so I think we tend to assume what others also are thinking, or scenario, what things might come out of a scenario. And that can place undue pressure on ourselves that's not needed.
Well, a perfect example of that is an example in my book of a woman who was like in her, you know, older, like in her 50s. And she was doing the online dating thing. And she said, this online dating stuff is so depressing. It's like so much rejection. And I said, well, hold on a minute. Like, what do you mean? And she goes, well, you know, I email these men and, you know, no one gets back to me. And I said, okay, well, number one, what if you found out that half the guys that you were emailing were not even the profile photo they posted, were wife beaters, just got a prison, ex-drug addict? Like, what if you don't know these people? So what if that were the case and you found that out? Then wouldn't you feel like you dodged a bullet? And she was like, well, yeah, of course. And so here's what's insane in that scenario. She's allowing her self-esteem to be affected because she's actually projecting onto a stranger what they might think of her. There's not even any confirmation there. And even if there were, even if every guy wrote her back and said, you're horrible, that still shouldn't affect your self-esteem. But again, I'm like, wow, isn't that interesting? You choose to feel rejected and bad about yourself. You're putting the power in the hands of strangers online. We don't know these people. They could have a rap sheet. Maybe they've cheated on every wife they've ever had, right? And so it's crazy. It's not even what they think. It's a projection of what you think they might think. And it's all coming from you. So it's really how you think about yourself, right? So for example, if I were online and I didn't get any responses, I would never feel rejection. I would just be like, they missed out, or like, what? I don't even think anything about it. I would just be like, oh, well, teach their own. Maybe they like brunettes. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And that's the other thing too. Maybe all the guys she emailed, she was a brunette woman. Maybe they all wanted a blonde, or they were attracted to Asian women. We all have the right to have our preferences, right? You know what I mean? And what we're attracted to. So that's usually the case. Like you said, we're projecting onto other people what they might think of us. That's insane.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I think this is a great place to jump into this now. So what does it mean to be confident, and where do we get that? Because especially now, I feel like the environment around us can actually bring us down as well, especially with social media and stuff like that. There's a lot more people struggling with confidence. So where do we get started with this?
Well, again, they are allowing other people's thoughts about them to affect how they feel about themselves. That's low confidence. That's just not being confident. No one's opinion of you should even matter, really. Now, that being said, if you're in a business, you're an entrepreneur, or you're an author like me, yes, you want to be well-liked and have a good reputation. No one's saying, you know, you don't give a shit about any of it. So of course there's that. So, you know, when people talk about confidence, first of all, we're born with it. And I'll talk about how it's an ancestral thing in a minute. But confidence is not a fixed, anchored, set quality within you. It's literally just the sum of the thoughts you think and the actions you take. That's all it is. So confidence is not even reflective of your actual capacity to succeed at something. It's actually more reflective of your belief in your ability to prevail in life in general or at something specific. So since you can change your thoughts and you can change your actions, you can get confidence and self-esteem. Now, people might think they're different. We can talk about that later. When I say confident as F, I mean inside and out. I think internal confidence is way more important. Some of the quietest people in the room are the most confident. It's not about getting out there and being an extrovert necessarily. However, you are still going to have to speak up. So you don't need to get on social media and do Facebook Lives about your life, but you're going to have to speak up to someone at some point. So you're going to have some outward ability. So, you know what I mean? And then there's people that have outward abilities and outward confidence, and they talk on a stage to 50,000 people and they get off the stage and they can't have a conversation with their neighbor or their loved one. That's not confidence either. That's just some outward performance shit that anyone can actually achieve that through practice. You know what I mean? Really, anyone can do that. If they've set their mind to like, I want to be a public speaker, I'm nervous, I've never spoken, I'm shy. You can learn that. You know what I mean? But this stuff that's inside is really the most important, but you need a little bit in the out. So even the most like shy people crippled by fear can attain it. It's just involving self-awareness, intention, practice. So, you know, we see babies are like, unless you're born and then you're immediately beaten, okay, which can happen, but usually we're born confident. You know, you see little kids, you have children, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, no, give me that. Oh, they're just owning it, you know, nonstop. Now then, where do you get it chipped away? When you do start to get abused, or your teacher in second grade says you're stupid, right? Okay, so now we go through life and oh my God, people are throwing stuff at us. And so if you've had more stuff thrown at you, it's going to take more time, right? Or not necessarily more time, but it's going to take real deep work to get past that, what I call parental garbage, you know, the parent that said you were a loser, never going to be anything. But then if we look at that, I would ask people out there, like, listen, are you going to allow that fucking parent to be right? Like, not on my watch. Because, you know, that's just, again, giving the power like it would be to that woman who's like, I feel so rejected. Again, you're allowing someone else's opinion of you to define who you are. So usually what happens is people are pissed at the parent, like, oh, they were so mean. They said I was going to be nothing and da, da, da. And you go, yeah, okay. So you're going to let them win? Are you going to let them win? No, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to have to parent yourself. Sorry to say, that's what we have to do. You know what I mean? So let me get into the ancestral stuff. Cause you know, my first book, The Paleo Thyroid Solution, what we do is, you know, we look at hunter-gatherer ancestors. We look at their nutrition. We see that it's so much better than what we have now. And we try to mimic that. Yet we are living in a modern world and we have to adapt to certain things like technology and, you know, we're busier, et cetera. But the confidence has an evolutionary, it provides an evolutionary edge. Because what confidence does is it allows us to, you know, navigate new challenges, tasks, social situations without pause, without anxiety, without fear. And so, you know, when that happens, it propels us in the directions of achieving our goals and dreams. And so nowadays, though, we have this luxury of sort of wallowing in despair, self-pity, self-judgment, and not so with our hunter-gatherer ancestors. Okay. You know, look, life was harsh. It was unforgiving. It was unrelenting, constantly throwing our ancestors challenges, right? And so can you imagine them like moping around and being like, I don't know, dude, I haven't like speared any beasts yet. Like maybe I shouldn't be a hunter. Like, what do you think? I don't know. I'm like so bad at that. Never. That would never have. Now we can't go back and have record. I guarantee you that didn't happen. Okay. Because they might have had a bad moment. They didn't judge themselves as failures when they didn't catch the beast. Okay. Here's the difference. And this is what we need to adopt. They saw failure as feedback. That's what confident people do. They don't see failure as a self-judgment or a hazard to be avoided. Okay. It's just feedback. And so our hunter-gatherer ancestors were quite confident in that way. So, you know, they wouldn't, you know, the water source is tainted. They're not going to sit around and cry about it. It'd be like, Joe, we got to move on, man. Like, you know, what are you doing? So they might've been disappointed if something didn't happen for them like that. Like, oh, I didn't catch the beast or whatever. But to a hunter-gatherer, a victim mindset like that would have been a recipe for death. Okay. Mm-hmm. So survival requires, right, that they regrouped, forged ahead to the next challenge. We don't have those fight or flight things going on because we can get food anytime we want, blah, 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 blah. So then we have this more modern luxury of like wallowing in self-despair and questioning ourselves. Man, that was just not how it was. They forged ahead to the next challenge when they faced unfavorable circumstances. And that's what confident people in modern times do. So yes, did they do things with a purpose and a goal? Absolutely. But had the outcome not been to their advantage, they accepted it and moved on, man. They tried again later or devised an alternate plan or, you know what I mean? Or was like, let's go walk that way. Like whatever it was, right? So I think that's where we need to look at our hunter-gatherer ancestors, not just with like nutrition, as I believe as well, because they had it dialed in way better, but in this confidence arena. Now, we don't want to go back to hunter-gatherer days where you and I would be dragged by our hair into a cave. No human rights, like no laws against rape, right? Like, okay, there are some things about their life we're glad we don't still like have going on, okay? But when it comes to confidence, and also the other thing too is, you know, they had basic needs, like I said, right? Like, you know, they didn't have food at the store. So, you know, they were in survival mode and they had basic needs that were sort of easily met. So, you know, if your wants are limited, then it's kind of fairly easy to meet them. But now, you know, we live in a society where that tells us we have infinite wants and limited means. And so then we work our butts off so that we increase our means to meet more of our wants and all this kind of stuff. So it is different, but I think we got to kind of get back to their mindset of failure is only feedback. That's it. They didn't judge themselves and wallow in self-pity, onward and upward. And we need more of that.
Okay. This is an amazing saying, and I'm going to steal it from you from now on because it's so awesome. But that is what a lot of people are afraid of when they are trying to learn something new or get out there. Maybe it's a health journey. Maybe it's a career goal or a family goal. They're afraid of failure. And so they never even try in the first place. They just keep themselves all the way in that bottom rung, basically. And so this is an amazing saying. And I think it could be hugely beneficial for people.
Yeah. And I think originally it comes from Art Devaney, who wrote The Evolution Diet. And he said to our hunter-gatherer ancestors, failure was only feedback. He's not the first guy maybe, but that's sort of where I gathered it from. And since then, many people have said it. And Mark Sisson has said it many times. Art Devaney is one of his favorite authors as well. So credit where credit is due. But yes, failure is only feedback. And so that's one of the characteristics of confident people. They don't see it as a hazard. It's something to overcome. The other side of it too, is that, you know, hunter-gatherer ancestors, they didn't tolerate people acting better than others really. I mean, there might've been sort of hierarchy, but you'd get your ass, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, so we're leaving you at the waterhole, Joe, then, cause like, you're too much of a problem. Right. So nowadays it's really different. People have tendencies to dominate. And again, in the face of that domination, anyone with lack of self-esteem will crumble and feel defeated. Here's the thing I would say, though, the people that don't even try anything because they're, by the way, this is, so I used to teach a writing course called Knock It Out, Get It Done. And I had a bunch of people in this group and we're helping them all write books or a course or whatever it is that they want, because I've been mentoring writers for years. And it was interesting because The biggest holdup for all of them was already projecting to the end whenever the thing came out and judging whether or not people would like it, what they would say about it, what they would say about, like, who do you think you are being an author and all this kind of stuff. And it was just so fun to me. I'm like, look at like your future projections of what other people might think of you are affecting you actually accomplishing your goal. You're never going to get there then if you continue to think about that. I had one New York Times bestselling health author. Okay. So it was already a New York Times bestseller. And when I came out, I was really known in the health industry as the thyroid person. And so people never knew that I maybe had another area of expertise. What's funny is that I used to be in sketch comedy and comedy. And so those people are like, what, you're a thyroid expert? So, you know, it just depends on how you know me that you'd be shocked. So when I came out with my second book, Confident as Fuck, I had this New York Times bestselling health author asked me, oh man, I kind of want to do that too. I want to get into the self-development or self-improvement with men. And I think I have a lot to say. He goes, how did you get people to see you as that? How do you get a publisher to see you as that? And I said, you don't. You don't. You just do it. I'm not waiting for approval from anyone to do what I want to do. Stop waiting for approval. One time someone asked me, hey, like, do you think I'd be a good coach? I said, no, because the fact that you asked that question means absolutely not. Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Now, you know, so it's just, it's so interesting to me, like waiting for, oh, I want, no, I just did it. I do it. I have something to say, right? Like, you know, like, no, I'm writing this book, like, whatever, I'm doing it. I don't need to wait. I'm not worried. I've had this so many times. People have called me because they were a coach in one area. And now they go, well, how do I go? You don't, you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's such a focus on what will people think? Biggest holdup, biggest mm-hmm. holdup in anyone's life. What will people think? Who cares?
Absolutely. I think we're very aligned with that. Honestly, I get this all the time. People are like, you do everything. Everything you do, you're successful at. And I'm like, because I go out there and I do it. I'm like, A, I want to do this. What are the steps it takes to get there? Let's go learn it. There's nothing special about me other than the fact that when I decide I want something, I go and get it.
And that is the most incredible quality. And it's reflective of perseverance pays. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And again, it's a level of confidence that even if you're like, I don't know, there's going to be a moment if you release a book or anything where you're like, I don't know, are people going to be interested or like what? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's a moment. And I remember too, when I published my first book or when Mark Sisson published my first book, The Paleo Thyroid Solution, right when it came out, like 2 days later, a couple of people were like, oh, are you like checking the reviews? And I go, no, I'm not. First of all, that's such resistance. Do people like me? Oh my God, no. In fact, I didn't look at the reviews until one day someone was like, you've got like 500 five-star reviews. These reviews are amazing. I'm like, oh no, maybe I should go back and read them because I don't care. If I helped one person, that was enough to me. You know what I mean? I know it's good. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for validation from others, although it's nice and I get tons of validation from people. That's great. But again, that's a level of internal confidence. Like I'm not checking reviews every day. Because mm-hmm. that is literally going, what do people think? What do people think? And then it might affect how you feel. So even if there were, I mean, I know it was a good book, but even if there were bad reviews. Now, listen, if you always get bad reviews, you never get called back for an audition to a producer. You never win. You know, okay, maybe you need to evaluate. Am I good at this? Do I need to improve my skills here? You know, mm-hmm. what am I missing? Why aren't people liking this? Sure. But for the most part, I don't care. If one person had bought that book, don't care. I did it. I needed mm-hmm. to get it out. I was compelled to write it.
Yeah. And I don't even know that it's am I good at this thing? I know we can question those kind of things, right? But I think it's let's reevaluate the steps we're taking to get where we need to go, because
absolutely.
Maybe they're the incorrect steps.
Right. Or maybe I, you know, needed to clarify here, or, you know what I mean? I interviewed someone once who wrote a book on, they asked me for my honest opinion, so I gave it to him where, you know, normally I'm going to edit my, this is part of being confident. You got to choose your battles wisely and you do have to edit yourself. Even though confident people tell it like it is, mm-hmm. I always give the example, like, Connie, if I'm at your grandma's house for Thanksgiving and she goes, what do you think of my sweater? And I think it's ugly. I'm telling her it's cute. Okay. I'm going to tell her it's cute. I don't freaking know her. I'm mm-hmm. not going to, come on. Let her have it, right?
Yeah.
But if you're my good friend, you already know I don't bullshit people. And you come to me and you go, what do you think of the sweater? I'm going to go, it's fucking ugly. Because you expect that from me. You wouldn't be asking unless you know, because you know me and I'm your friend. And so
right.
that's why my friends do ask me. They'll be like, do I look fat in this dress? I'll say, yes, please choose another. Mm-hmm. And they go, thank you. I knew you were going to tell me the truth. Mm-hmm. They're not offended. But yeah, so you have to edit yourself, right? Sometimes we're not always going to tell it like it is. But And I forgot, I lost my train of thought here, but on telling it like it is, I don't know why I brought that up.
That's okay. I understand completely. I mean, as a coach, that's a very difficult thing as well, right? Because I want to be a good influence in people's lives and I want to help them achieve their goals. But sometimes that requires a certain level of extreme honesty that may not be something somebody wants to hear either. So,
yeah, that's a good point because I get that too. I mean, here's the thing. People usually hire me as a coach because they want that and they know I'm not going to BS them. Now, that being said though, there's a way to deliver information. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm all just to the point here, right? But you know, there's prefacing and, you know, sometimes there's been conversations with clients where I've been like, hey, look, hear me out. This may sound a little harsh. Just give it a minute. You know what I mean? You can always preface something like that.
Yes,
you know what
absolutely.
I mean? A hard truth mm-hmm. so that they know. And also commiserate. Oftentimes when you need to call someone on something, you've probably been guilty of it too. All that I've had it, right? Yeah. So it may have been an old version of me, but then you can relate and go, look, I'm going to tell you something harsh, but here's the thing. I've been through this. I know it. I'm not blaming, you know, mm-hmm. this is just one of these things I see. I've been there, you know, that, so you can always preface a harsh truth. And then some people are just okay with absolute straight up direct stuff. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, being ultra confident like me and very direct is a pitfall in the sense that, you know, especially as a woman, like I would like to answer every phone call with like, yo, what do you got? You know, like,
yeah,
what do you need?
Yeah.
I don't need small talk. I don't need, how was your weekend? And you know, my mentor, Mark Sisson, was very like that. We worked very well together. He's from Maine. He's extremely direct. And people would kind of be a little bit like afraid of that. People can be intimidated by that. Do you know what I mean? But it's really the most authentic and there's no emotion behind it. When we're direct speakers, there's usually no emotion behind it, but it just because it's delivered in a certain way. So I have found that yes, over the years, I got to gloss up an email, put a little sprinkles on there, you know, because I would just like to email back and be like, yeah, great, fine. What do we do now? Where that just doesn't read correctly. That tone is not, you know, so mm-hmm. that's a pitfall. So someone like me, that's something I have to work on, like understanding my audience when it comes to my direct communication. I've even had people say like, man, you and Mark, like you guys are so freaking direct. And it kind of startles people. And I get that. But for the most part, people admire me. Mm-hmm. for that. They admire that. You know what you're getting. You know right. what I mean? And so when I'm dealing with a very direct person like Mark Sisson or any one of my friends, really, I am never offended by anything that comes out of their mouth. I mm-hmm. really appreciate it. It's direct, it's honest, and there's no emotion behind it. It's just straight up facts, you know, or straight up their opinion. And life is easier that way when you are friends with other people who also are confident as fuck and mm-hmm. can tell it like it is. I also want to touch on shyness for a second. So there's this quote by Andre Debuse, and this is going to sound harsh, but this really is revealing to me. He said, shyness has a strange element of narcissism to it. Mm-hmm. The belief that how we look, how we perform is truly important to other people. It's not. Newsflash, everyone. No one cares, really. They're thinking about themselves. I mean, this is really the truth. This is really the truth. So it is interesting, that quote. It's like you're operating in a way, you're so fearful of all of these things because you're so worried about what other you know.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that this is a huge thing to highlight when it comes to that, is like so many people want to hide, right? They don't want to put themselves out of there. Back to the fear thing, right? So what is a great first step if somebody, other than just saying do it, because you and I, that's what we would say, right? Is get out there and do it. Is there a recommended first step for maybe somebody that's not quite as confident as someone such as you and I?
Yeah, well, it depends on what they want to do. So the people that I've coached before, again, it is small steps. So let me give you a real small step with someone. I used to run a group confidence course before. By the way, I have, to everyone listening, I have online courses for both confidence, the Ultimate Confidence course and the Ultimate Thyroid course. So I've expanded my book, you know, both of the books within these courses. Before that, I taught a live group confidence course. And in it, she doesn't mind me sharing it. She talks about it. She's actually on the landing page for the course. You'll hear her testimonial. Barbara is about 57 years old, struggled with being a people pleaser and confidence issues. So she took my course. And she's also an amazing health coach, a registered nurse, a badass. Like you see her muscles. She's ripped at the gym. She's doing great. She just needed some confidence. And she's really good at what she does. Anyway, Barbara Diaz de Leon, I'll just give her some credit right here. So anyway, Barbara came into the course and I was very action oriented. I'm like, you guys during this course have to come up with stuff that you currently are dealing with so that we can actually turn it around. And so she said, she'd been going and getting her hair cut with the same hairdresser for like 10 years. And if you're watching, and if you're not, maybe you can imagine this, but the hairdresser, like, I don't know, months prior, on the bottom of her hairline was cutting up, like kind of feathering it versus a blunt cut, which is just straight across, right? Now, Barbara didn't like the way that this looked with her just cutting it upwards versus just straight across, and she wanted a blunt cut, but she was kind of worried about speaking up. Now, people out there might go, well, that's freaking dumb. Like, just say something. No, for someone that's struggling with confidence, that is a big deal. And here's why. Number one, most people who aren't confident and have lack of self-esteem feel that speaking up has to be contentious. It doesn't at all. You can, boy, and this is a great example of that. So I said to Barbara, I said, okay, well, you're going to have to go in there. So you're going in again soon and you're going to need your blunt cut. You can't keep having this thing you don't like. So we're going to have to address it. And she was afraid of speaking up. Again, usually you're afraid of like, oh, it'll cause a conflict. They won't like me anymore. I've known this person for 10 years and da, da, da. So I said, first of all, I said, well, hey, is there anything from the last time you went in to get your hair done that you could bring up? Like, did the hairdresser's daughter get married? Or, and she goes, oh, actually there is something. She had given me a new conditioner that I really liked. I said, great. Let's just put that aside. Everyone listening, this will make sense in a second. I go, put that one aside. I go, okay, now why don't you think about doing something like the following? Like, you go in and here's the thing. You don't do the like, hey, like I kind of didn't ask for this and you've been cutting my hair the same. Okay. That's just, kind of a negative-y, shitty, the person might be on the defense. Instead, you could just go and go, hey, look, you know, I know we've been doing the upwards cut there for a while. I really want to try the blunt cut. I know it may take a couple times to get right. Can we do that? But then I said, and then immediately you're out, bring up the conditioner. So now the conversation goes something like this. She goes up to the hairdresser, is like, oh, hey, you know what? I know we've been doing that upwards cut. Can we do like a blunt cut from now on? I know it may take a few cuts and I'd love to do that. Oh, by the way, I love that conditioner you gave me. Right? Get out, get out, get out, just get out of it. Because when you're not confident, you'll tend to want to sit there and justify. Confident people don't justify and explain, you know, they don't over explain. Have you ever found yourself writing a 10 page email and you're like, what the fuck? This is a two sentence thing. What am I doing? Like, you know, it's the same thing when someone's like, hey, Connie, you want to go out to dinner? And you're like, well, I can't. Susie has swim practice. We don't care. Just tell me you can't go. Like, no one wants to hear it. Right. Like, so over justifying and over explaining is not something that confident people do. No is a complete sentence and or thanks, I'm not going to be able to make it. You don't have to explain why you can't make it. So for someone that's about to declare something like this, you know what I mean? You might want a little bit of a segue out of it. And that was the perfect thing. That's why I asked her if there was anything. And she did it. It was a total throwaway. Look, you heard me say it. How non-confrontational was that? And she got her blunt cut. And you know what's funny? The hairdresser said the same thing. She goes, oh, you know, yeah, okay, no problem. But it may take us like a few rounds to get it right. And she's like, great. And now she's so happy. No conflict, no bad vibes, no weirdness. She didn't have to go. By the way, if she had just like left to go to another hair cutter, okay, because she wanted to avoid this conversation, she'd still run into more problems. You don't learn that lesson, it's going to keep coming up, man.
Right.
So absolutely. That's a perfect example of small thing. It's a small thing, right? But it being done in a light throwaway way, you know, oh, hey, I was wondering, right? Like, oh, hey, you know what? I noticed you loaded the dishwasher with the forks up. Hey, next time, can you do it down? I prefer that. It doesn't have to be, you know, that's not the way you load a dishwasher, right? So your tone and how you present it and the way that you're looking, if you're throwing it away and it's a no-brainer, then people accept it that way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I love that. And you kind of brought something up back there that I wanted to touch on, which was the justifications. You see more and more of that lately. Like, well, I was going to do this, but this happened, or this was going to happen, or even if you did something amazing, but then you threw in an extra justification in there, or an excuse, I like to call them. So that was something I started checking myself on a couple years ago, as I was like, well, I don't need to make an excuse to anybody. If shit didn't go the way I wanted it to go, oh, well, doesn't matter. I mean, I don't need to explain that to you. And most people don't even care.
They don't care. Not only that, it's weak because we're reading that email about your, well, I got to take Sally on Tuesday and then my mother's coming to town and I don't think I'll be able to, okay, well, if I just like be there or not be there, I don't care. And if someone keeps pushing you for reasons or is challenging you, they're probably kind of an asshole narcissistic person that, you know, nobody would really do that. They're cool. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a great example. A client of mine, very confident. But look, even confident people have moments, okay? So this confident person, let's say, we'll come up with a number. They make a hefty six-figure salary. Let's say it's like 250. And they got a job offer. Let's say the job offer was for 275, okay? And then, and it was around this amount, but I forget. So I'm just making it easy. So let's say the offer for the new job was 275 and my client wanted 300,000. So he writes the counter offer letter, right? To say, hey, thank you. I'd like more money kind of thing. And so in this letter he wrote, he said, hey, can you take a look at it before I send it? And I immediately, it was like glaring, this paragraph that stood out to me. And I said, can you imagine? I go, can you look at this letter that you wrote and can you determine what paragraph I would tell you needs to be completely X'd out of this whole letter? And he was like kind of confused and he kept looking over and he goes, is this what? I don't know. I can't see it. Again, this is why you have a coach sometimes, right? Because you can't see it. And so it was this paragraph. He was asking for more money. Okay. And then said, it was a little paragraph that was like, as you know, I have three kids. One's in college at Stanford, the other da 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 da. But da 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 da. No, you don't need to give the reasons why you want the money. It's why you're worth the money.
Absolutely.
Because let me tell you a couple things on that. First of all, what if the person who receives the letter is like, not my fucking fault you had kids, right? No, seriously. Like, I don't give a shit. Also, you could spend your salary on NFTs and cotton candy. I don't care what it is. It's none of anyone's business where you're spending the money or why you need the money. All right. You need to do in any job interview or any kind of negotiation like this is explain why you as a person, as an employee, as an expert, as a head of whatever is worth the money. Do you see the distinction? He saw it right away. He got rid of the paragraph. It's weak. Do you get that? Does that make sense? That's a minor thing. Like, so the reason I give specific examples is because, you know, there's a million confidence books out there that have acronyms and to-do lists, BS. Specific examples of real life stuff, like I told you with Barbara and her hair cutter or this. These are the things that people listening, I'm sure, are going, oh, okay, I see these nuances. So now listen, this client is ultra confident. He was probably not expecting that I would have mentioned that. But to me, and by the way, I used to hire people for a living way a long time ago, like 20 years ago. So, I mean, that's something as an employer, I'd be like, and also too, what if the person hiring you like hates children or like, it doesn't matter, but like, it doesn't matter. It sounds so weak. Like I need the money for all these things in my life, all these choices I made. We don't care what your choices are. Literally spend it on strip clubs and blow. It doesn't matter to the employer.
Yeah.
I mean, so I hope that makes sense. And that's another example. So maybe you need to start small by sending your steak back because it's not cooked right. And again, it doesn't need to be, hey, I asked for medium and this is medium rare. It could be like, oh, hey, look, I hate to trouble you. I asked for medium rare. This is like pretty rare or whatever it is. Again, maybe these small steps like the hairdresser, it could be a small step by not answering the phone right away to toxic people. Even that's a move. That's not a move. You're not even saying anything, but it's an action. Mm-hmm. It's a boundary that you are drawing. You're saying something without saying something. So there's lots of small ways. And listen, I wouldn't expect anyone to just be like, go out and do it. Like, that's very like, just figure it out, you know, or sorry, just do it. I mean, I know you and I are like that. It's like, just do it, knock it out, get it done. But as you talk or as I coach with people or in my course, these are the ways that I teach through specific examples, because that is the way we grasp this stuff. And so this guy's ultra confident. He's already making 250. Like, you'd think he would have already won the confidence game, but then there's still moments where you see what you're doing or you see where you're over justifying and explaining, and confident people don't do that.
And that's why as you said, like, confident people do have moments, right? But that's when we are taking a look in the mirror or we're checking in and we're being like, okay, what the fuck are you doing right now? What's going on? Why are you doing this? Okay, let's get this fixed, right?
Right. And in that scenario, My client was just, he was justifying his financial situation instead of being like, I deserve better because I'm awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just, you know what I mean? It's about your skills you're bringing to the table, because literally how sympathetic is someone going to be? They're not going to give you a raise because you need it, because you made choices or send your kids to a private school. Like it, nobody cares. And also it's really not valid, is it?
Right.
It's not a valid reason for me to give you a raise.
So
the other thing too is like, stop, catch yourself with 5-hour responses to these things, justifying everything.
Mm-hmm.
Try to be more succinct and clear. So, you know, you start identifying places where you're justifying a lot, and that's another place to start. I want to give another example of a client named John who I talk about in the book. And so here's what happened to John. So this is another thing. You never gauge someone's confidence by their position in society. Okay. So, right. Like you could be a New York Times bestseller speaking on a stage to 50,000 and be a freaking people pleaser, low self-esteem person. Okay. Absolutely. And I'm going to give an example of how that looks. So client named John, he's an anesthesiologist. Totally confident. You better be. People will die, right? You are injecting stuff into people's spines. You're putting them out for surgery. He is ultra confident as an anesthesiologist. Ultra confident. He's also good looking and in shape, and he knows it. He's not cocky, but he knows it. He's, you know, feels good about himself. He's tall. He's good looking, good body. And he's also a spear fisherman, one of the most confident, harrowing sports that you can even attempt. Okay. We're talking 5 miles out into the open freezing ocean with sharks. You are wrangling 150-pound tuna to the surface. That takes an hour. You're seasick. It's, I mean, this is like really a day. You have to be confident. Okay. So this guy is confident in all of his abilities. And you'd think by looking at him, like, what a alpha confident dude. But he's the biggest people pleaser. I've literally one of the biggest people pleasers I've ever met in my life. And so here's what happened. This was a scenario. He had just pressure washed and cleaned his entire house. And then he sees that his neighbor, like a week later, has workers there. And he's going, oh my God, you know, like he's going to get all this dirt on my house. And I just cleaned my house. And he began virtual arguments in his head with the neighbor, projecting like this guy was suddenly, you know what I mean? All this kind of stuff. And he didn't want to speak. I said, why don't you go talk to, he was like, ah, yeah. And I said, okay. So here was like our conversation. I was like, all right, look, John, your neighbor seems to be really nice, right? He's never given you any reason that he's an asshole. And John was like, no, he's like the nicest guy in the world. I've talked to him many times. He's so sweet. And I go, okay, so what worries you about having a little conversation about, hey, can you protect my house from getting dirty because I just cleaned it? Like, what's preventing you from that? And he's like, well, he's like, I don't know. I don't want him to think I'm a dick. And I go, but so your hesitation is really about what you think he might think of you for asking him to be careful when washing his house, and not because you think he's going to be mean to you because you know he's a nice guy. He goes, I guess so. I just feel bad. He's nice. I don't want to cause any problems, this kind of thing. I said, do you know for a fact that a request that was simple to him would, you know, like blow everything up? I mean, do you think that he's going to cause problems between the two of you? He's like, no, but I just feel bad. Again, this classic people pleaser stuff. And I'm like, well, why do you feel bad? He's like, well, because he's really nice. I don't want him to think I'm an asshole. I kept repeating it. Okay. So you're worried and feel bad because you're too nice, which is people pleasing, right? People pleasing is lying. So you're holding back and getting what you want because you're worried about someone will think of you. But if you don't say anything and your house gets dirty, you're going to be annoyed and pissed at him, you know, not only changing your vibration, changing how you feel about your neighbor, and you're going to be the one that actually caused an issue that wasn't there. And so just like a victim, you're going to be like, ah, see, I knew it. He dirtied up my house. Now I've got to rewash it. And you know, this is now like a thing that's going through his head. Again, spear fisherman, anesthesiologist, like the most confident, like on paper, right? And so I said, listen, you have two choices here, right? Like you either say something ahead of time to prevent your house from getting dirty, or you say nothing and you risk the chance that it'll get dirty and be annoyed about it. The first choice solves the issue probably immediately. And then if for some reason he does get nasty, then you go, oh, okay, I guess he wasn't nice. But you know, this guy seems like a nice guy. And he goes, all right, well, fine. Like, what do I say? You know, I don't want to come across mean. This is, again, another fact, straight up factual request. It doesn't have to be, hey, look, man, like I just cleaned my house and then now I see you have guys there. Okay, that's kind of accusatory, right? It's the same way with the hairdresser. So again, it's another throwaway. It's like, let's say his neighbor's name was Sam. It's like, so I said, why not something like this? Like, hey, Sam, look, I know your workers are going to be washing your house or doing some work this week. I just finished pressure cleaning my house. Is there any way you could have them like set up some tarps or just do something to be a little extra careful not to let, you know, the dirt and debris come over here? And he was like, that seems simple. I'm like, yeah, half of this stuff 99%, actually majority of the stuff is actually quite simple. And so he went to his neighbor. He literally, I wrote it down for him, you know, just so he could like get it in his head. He went to his neighbor. And you know what the neighbor said? The neighbor said, absolutely, John. And if for some reason my workers get dirt all over your house, I will pay to have them pressure wash yours again. Is that not the best outcome for that fucking scenario that you could have possibly imagined? And yes, obviously he's nice. And he's like, oh my God, I can't believe how easy this is. He's so nice. I go, yeah. And then you ran in your head for a week and a half. Arguments, virtual arguments, blaming, being pissed already, angry at your neighbor. Oh my God, what a self-created fucked up world. But that's what people pleasers do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's what people who have low self-esteem, which is people pleasers, that's what people do. And so not only is John a great example of do not judge someone by their cover, their resume, or their confidence in their abilities in a skill, okay? Because he has very low self-esteem on the inside. He has no confidence on the inside with interpersonal relations, right? And so this is why you can't gauge it that way. You've got to gauge it based on seeing how people are operating in life. So, you know, I'll be honest with you, like I'm very confident. So, I need to be with a confident man. It's, you know, I can't be like a life coach, right? So I tend to go for pretty, you know, masculine guys who are ultra confident. And, you know, that's just like, if I were dating someone in a scenario like that, and I heard this from John, I would be immediately unattracted to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, that says red flag. You can't handle any kind of conflict, even a fucking conversation with your nice neighbor. You mm-hmm. can't speak up about something this stupid. Now, again, I'm not judging people out there. That's just my personal thing with who I would choose to be with as a romantic partner, because I don't want to be the alpha in my straight female, straight man relationships, right? I mean, I can't speak for everyone else's dynamics, right? So that's just like a perfect example. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people listening have been through something like this. And then he was like, you'd have thought he would have won the lottery. He was like, oh my God, it was so easy. It was so nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, this made me think of a scenario and I was in recently, actually. It's funny how we tend to brew scenarios in our head and they can literally drive us nuts and pollute our freaking mental psyche, right?
Yes.
And so I do coach bodybuilding athletes. I'm a judge for bodybuilding shows, all that fun crap. And so I know what I'm looking at when I look at people. And one of my fellow coaches, had a client that's posing. She probably would have won everything that whole day, but her posing was awful. And to make it worse, it was so bad that it was very, the posing was not good. It was very sexualized almost, to put for lack of better words. And
like
I was
sexual for what the, yeah. For,
yeah. And as a judge and a coach myself, had I have been, and I always put myself in other people's shoes I don't have a good filter. And I was like, okay, well, should I say something? And then I decided yes, because if I was that person, I would want somebody to come up to me that has the knowledge and tell me so that I could fix it for next time. I would, and if it was bullshit advice, then whatever. At least, I mean, because people give bullshit advice. There's no doubt about it, but I would at least be open to hearing it, because sure, it could make an improvement or, you know, whatever. So anyway, I decided that I would approach this person and tell them, and I was very, very nice about it. And I was like, hey, next time I would probably do this because it's going to be a lot better. And the coach was sitting there and he was pissed. I could tell immediately when I mentioned something, but that was the only time I could catch her. And I could see his whole face was red and he was angry about it. And then I was like, well, dang, I really like this other coach. I felt awful almost immediately after I got done saying it. And I was like, well, my big mouth just fucked up, you know, like, but I saw the guy that the following weekend, and I walked up to him and I said, hey, you know what? I want to apologize to you. I may not have handled that in the proper way.
You said that to the coach or to
the coach the following weekend? I saw him. I said, hey, you know what? I want to apologize to you. I said, I may not have handled that in the proper way. I probably should have approached you directly, and we should have talked about it, and then you could have informed your client. And I thought about it afterwards and I was like, yeah, I should have done that differently. But I had the balls to go up and apologize to him and tell him, hey, listen, I think that I could have done this better, and I'm sorry that it upset you. And he actually said, you know what? I was a little upset, but he said, I was actually more upset about somebody else that brought it up to me before you had, in a very rude way. And he said, so it wasn't actually you, but he's like, I want you to know, after I had developed this scenario that this guy was going to be angry at me, he's like, I want you to know, I really appreciate you coming up and saying that. And everything was good. And he's like, I'm really glad to know you. And thank you for your help. And I was like, oh, see, I developed this scenario in my head that I was going to lose a friend essentially over this. And instead it all turned out good because I had the confidence to go up and tell this guy, hey, I'm sorry. I might've fucked that up.
That's beautiful. And honestly, that's a part of confidence, is being able to own it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, own it. If you're confident and you can't accept criticism, then you're just a bully, or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or you're like the braggart, you've got insecurities going on, because for some reason you may feel that owning it would look weak to admit any kind of defeat. But the ultimate in being confident as fuck is not giving a shit what other people think. Therefore, you're going to be out of integrity mm-hmm. with your actions. And you felt it, and you're like, okay, ooh, look, I've had to eat it many times in my life. And this is, by the way, and you know, my book and course, it's also for confident people too. It's about refining it, right? Mm-hmm. There are nuances here. So it's people who need confidence. And also, you know, people who are ultra confident, like you and I, you know, like, okay, I've got to sprinkle some prefacing emails, maybe use a different tone since they don't know me well, and they're going to see it as angry. So I got to lighten it up. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, too, when I've coached thyroid people for many years all over the globe, sometimes like I'm very factual about what I'm talking about, like, you know, when we're in a session. And I've also noticed too, that I've been like, ooh, you know what? God, I forget, you know, sometimes because I'm not sick anymore. It doesn't happen all the time, but I had to remind myself a couple times along the road, like, oh, these people are like, have horrible emotional, like, you know what I mean? It's a mm-hmm. very sad, they're vulnerable. They're really yeah. weak, right? They're sensitive. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Just based on what's happening to them. Like, I used to also be that person too. I'd just mm-hmm. bawl crying because, you know, your mess, your hormones, your brain, everything with thyroid just screws up everything. And so, you know, I would remember that and be like, ooh, I gotta, you know? And one time I was just being really direct and factual, and one of the clients just started crying. Now, I'm used to crying because people are sick and whatever, but I just happened to be more business that day and more like on it. And I think they probably inferred my tone as being maybe a little bit more at them in some way. And again, this was not the case, but I get why they had the impression. And I was like, oh my God, you know what? Let's start over. Let me dial this back. Like, I forget sometimes, like, I know you're in a real bad situation. You know what I mean? So there's, look, but you own it, you know, mm-hmm. acknowledge it. You know what I mean? It was just a quick little thing, but I noticed like, oh, okay, my personality right now for her is just, she needs a little bit of love. She needs mm-hmm. some love here right now. I mean, not mm-hmm. that I don't give all my clients love, but it just happened to be a day. There's times when I'm on interviews for thyroid and I'm very just sort of, and look, I have the ability to self-criticize. So if I self-criticize, the last thing I want to hear from anyone I'm telling that is like, oh, you're fine. I'm like, no, I know I'm good. I'm also though have the ability to know when I need to do better. Like, it's not me looking for you to, so sometimes I'll preface, I'll be like, hey, I noticed something about something I did. No, I'm not looking for pity or for encouragement, because it's not about me feeling bad about myself. So sometimes in interviews with thyroid, you know, again, I try to touch more and tap into how I felt then versus mm-hmm. being very business and like factual about the thing. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Because that's what really relates to people. And then they know that I understand how it feels, mm-hmm. you know? So, you know, I've been able to listen to interviews and go, you know what? Could have been lighter on that one. You know, I could have, you know, and that's great too. But that's another thing. Like you said, you owned it with that guy's self-criticism, being mm-hmm. self-aware. That is part of being confident as fuck, mm-hmm. being able to own it, being able to check your ego when it is causing problems.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Being able to say, hey, okay, I was wrong here.
Absolutely going to own yeah. this one, instead of try to define it or justify it. Even sometimes if the other person was wrong too, fuck it. Just take the high road. Mm-hmm. So that is a great quality of confident people as well, right? Mm-hmm. Choosing battles wisely. And within that, right, that what we're kind of talking about, owning mm-hmm. when you F up and you need to apologize.
I love that. So if there was one thing though, that you want to get out to my listeners, as far as confidence goes, or just being successful in general, what would it be?
I mean, honestly, confidence is your key to everything that you want in life. It really is, from the bedroom to the boardroom. Doesn't matter. You speak up. You're not going to get what you want in the bedroom or the boardroom or anywhere else. Confidence does involve speaking up, declaring boundaries. You're not going to have healthy relationships if you're not able to draw boundaries, right? So every area of your life is affected by this. And 85% of the world has self-esteem issues. So usually confidence and self-esteem is the only thing holding people back from pursuing their dreams and goals. It is. And, you know, I often hear this from friends and colleagues like, wow, I so admire you, just go out and do it and da 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 da. And I'm like, yeah. So the truth is that no one's going to make it happen for you. Confidence is generated from within. It really is, regardless of your upbringing, regardless of horrible parenting, it's from within. Only you can do it. So do the work, get into it. I don't care if it's, you know, buy my audiobook. I also have a free 90-minute confidence masterclass where I go through like a ton of these examples. And so you could go to lruss.com, free stuff tab, click on the free confidence masterclass, watch me on a video for an hour and a half going through all sorts of examples, some from my book, some not. And maybe that'll give you a little bit of inspiration to start to move forward. But either way, it involves work, self-awareness, and going through sort of scraping off the barnacles of your life, parental garbage, looking at downers, looking at other things, bullying, adult bullying, you know, stuff like that. What I noticed, though, is that, and here's the thing, you're going to continue to get challenged, though, unless you finally meet the freaking challenge at some point. You have got to do it, or you're going to continue to struggle with this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so once you're beyond it, it doesn't mean you might not get a tester scenario that tests your confidence, but you're going to be way better off. And I can't even tell you, I've seen such 180s with so many of my clients, so many people that I know. And look, this could be anything. Usually people are confident in one area. A lot of areas or one area, but then they have another area over here. Like I have a friend who is no BS direct in romantic relationships, where usually like a lot of people aren't, but then they can't go ask for a raise. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like ultra confident here, speak up in all these uncomfortable situations, but then this one, they cower. I have a friend who's a famous artist. He can sit there in front of his paintings, talk to people all day at an event, but like trouble asking out a girl because he's too shy. Right. So, you know, if you're listening, there is some part of you that's confident, even if it's like, I'm a good daughter. I'm a great friend. I'm good at backgammon. Like, I don't care. There's something you're confident on, and then you just need to expand it. So when people are like, I don't have confidence, whatever, you're like, there's some area that you do in some way that you know you're good at something, or have potential. And until you do the self-awareness journey and get into it, you're not going to overcome it. But I would say it's holding everyone back. It's just, and you know this because you're confident and you just go for the stuff that you want. Mm-hmm. Everyone can become that if they want. That doesn't mean they have to be a speaker or an extrovert. By the way, I'm actually not an extrovert, which would surprise a lot of people. I'm a homebody introvert in a lot of ways. I don't get my energy from hanging out with other people. I live in the middle of the mountains with no street lights. I am in an isolated, like trees, I got mountains, like I am not, but I am completely extroverted, right? In these scenarios, I have no problem public speaking, performing, any of that stuff. If you are an entrepreneur, you want to do anything that Connie and I are doing, then you are going to need some speaking abilities, right? Because you will have to self-promote. And so if you're not in a world, but here's the thing, even if you're a stay-at-home mom, you're going to have, look, I'm sure it's happened to you. One of your kids, their friend's parents or something might have to speak up, right? Maybe something happened at their house. Maybe you have to challenge a parent. You're going to have to exemplify confidence through how you parent and how you also defend your children in whatever scenario. So even if you're not in a job or a position, look, being a mom is like one of the craziest full-time jobs ever, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be in a profession that requires it, but you still requires it for life.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love you so much, all the stuff that you do. Yes. And I appreciate you coming on here. I think this is an excellent talk for our listeners because it is a huge piece of being successful with anything, even if it's a health journey. I mean, your mindset is a huge, huge part of things. And so I think it's very, very important.
It absolutely is. And you know what? Just attend to it. You can do it. Again, it's the sum of the actions you think and the thoughts you the actions you take and the thoughts you think. It's within everyone's power. And so again, maybe even my 90-minute masterclass is just going to do it for everybody. I mean, that's why I put it out there. Listen, you know, every author wants to sell books and all that, but I'm also like, you know what? I'm not that kind of person that's going to tease stuff so that you will buy it. I'll just give you the fucking information because I want to solve the global problem of this crappy thyroid stuff with these uninformed doctors. And I want people to be confident.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's out there, guys. Go watch it, go check it out, or buy my book if you'd like. But other than that, you know, I offer that free 90-minute masterclass on confidence. So take advantage and see if it does anything for you, you know?
I love that. That's awesome. I will share all that information in the show notes as well, so people can just click and look it up. And I thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. To learn more about me, my online programs, or to inquire about coaching, please visit www.connienightingale.com. And remember, nothing in the contents of this show is intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any illness, and it is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult with your primary care physician before implementing any new health protocols.